Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yay!
Woohoo!
So,
happy holiday season.
It is. It's the season. Tis the season. So they
to
say.
To be jolly.
So, I don't know how jolly I am, but I will say that
we
had some excitement here this morning with our...
You sure did, my gosh.
We had a squirrel guest in the house.
Squirrel in the house.
You know, they're so cute, but it really was like a scene from Christmas Vacation, which is one of the funniest movies to this day. I still...
That video clip you sent me. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Check out
my... I could not believe it.
My Instagram to have a really good laugh at the flying squirrel in my dining room. It really was like a scene from Christmas Vacation. So, anyway.
Well, I'm glad you caught him. Well, you didn't personally, but...
Yeah, I had help, and we got him with a have a heart trap. There were no squirrels harmed.
That's good. You were more harmed than the squirrel was. He was just a little freaked out, or she.
And by the way, squirrels are cute, but they're incredibly stinky and messy. Like, the guy just destroyed some, you know, the downstairs a little bit.
And that was your husband's doing.
Yeah, we think he let the damn thing...
was he carrying nuts?
How can you not know that there's a squirrel running by your feet? We're hoping, because hopefully it's not some other mysterious entry that they could get back
in. There was one in our house once, and it came in through, apparently, the chimney.
Came in through the bathroom window. Isn't that a song?
Where is that from?
It's a song.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. I know. I'm not going to even go there. So let's quickly go through the rundown of this excellent show. And it is a special show, because then we really want to talk about Lynn's latest post. So,
oh, yes, we do.
We had the opportunity to have Alice Ford, who is an amazing young woman. She's a stunt woman and actress.
Mm-hmm.
She's a TV personality. And she's all about green living, but green travel in particular. And... we had her in the studio. She was in the Entourage movie. I'm like, oh, you're so cool. My daughter was like, oh, my gosh. Mm. She was in Entourage? She's incredibly cool and sweet and well-spoken. And we had a good time in the studio. So,
did she do any stunts while she was there?
You know, it would have been fun to
have
her here with the squirrel, right?
Right.
Could we have timed it better? Oh, my God. And Jeff Yeager, one of our favorite green dudes, does a really nice piece about consumerism. He's on the board of directors of the Center for the New American Dream. And
wonderful.
He talks about their mission to help us all kind of decommercialize the holidays a little bit, which I am 100% all for.
I am also.
And then our first official I Matter Youth segment. We've had I Matter Youth, a couple of the gals on the show, but this is, we're going to start doing a monthly report from them, and this is their own segment on the Green Divas Radio Show.
Yeah, I'm so excited that we're doing that with them.
Yeah, Becky Chung is going to call in today and give us a report on COP21 and, you know, what's happening with the youth involved. From a youth perspective, from a youth. And then we do a silly DIY holiday thing, kind of a roundup of some ideas and direct you on how to find them, and really some easy DIY things that even Green Diva Lynn is inspired about.
I really am. After this, I'm going to hop into the garage where I have some extra beeswax, and I'm going to get started on one of those projects.
See?
Not really.
So let's talk about your post, Lynn, because you spent a lot of time on this post, and it is kind of a great shopping tool.
Yeah, it took me a while. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Kind of funny that we're doing that in the same show as Jeff Yeager talking about consumerism, but we all want to think about holiday gifts. Right? So if you're not making your own, like Green Diva Meg can do, there are some great eco-friendly gifts that are lower impact. And, you know, if you're going to give a gift, why not have it be eco-friendly?
Well, and here, our motto was like, you know, make more, buy less. But when you buy, buy local. And if you can't buy local, than buy from this particular list.
Exactly.
How about that?
Well, and one thing I didn't realize, I was thinking that buying online was less eco-friendly than you know, shopping locally. And shopping local, in a sense, you know, if you're buying from a local merchant, that's great. But going to your local mall is a whole other story, because typically we're driving around by ourselves and going from store to store, so that can eat up a lot of energy.
Right, right. Yeah, that was interesting. You did some statistics in there that were...
Yeah, there's some great statistics.
Yeah.
In here. And shipping 2 20-pound packages by overnight air uses 40% less fuel than driving 20 miles round trip to the mall or store.
That's hard to
believe. Wherever you're going.
Since planes are pretty bad, but whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot more stats than that kind of back up the whole idea of it can be more eco-friendly to shop online.
Well, and you...
But if you're shopping from like a million different places online, you have a lot of different boxes, you know, then you get into packaging and all that kind of stuff, so...
Well, and I like that you chose things that we are familiar with, and most of these things we have, reviewed or had experience with.
Yes, including eco-friendly underwear.
I know, yeah.
Because there's a lot of toxic fibers out there because of pesticides or synthetic fibers.
You don't really want
those against your skin.
Like, say to someone you love, here, I love you, wear organic underwear.
Exactly.
Not a better way to say I love you than organic underwear.
Right. Well, I have a list, everything from eco-fashion, things for a greener home, beauty and personal care products, holiday gifts for health, books for young and old.
Well, it's all there, and it's a thorough, you could really have fun shopping there, and we'd certainly appreciate it if you did. Because you were smart enough to create almost like a little store there for, the Green Divas will get a few cents, you know.
Yeah, well, and one of the things, too, if you don't want to buy a physical, tangible gift, you can donate to a favorite organization. I listed out some ideas there.
Yes.
And or give to the Green Divas.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have to keep the lights on here.
We do. And we certainly appreciate all of the support we get in many ways, but cash works.
Green. We're the Green Divas looking for green.
Looking for green. Anyway, it's a great job, Lynn. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And they're very thoughtful.
My job is done for the week. I'm taking the rest of the week off.
My job is done here. Anyway, listen to the rest of this fabulous show. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Green Festival Expo is the longest-running sustainability event in the U.S. and the largest one with over 250 exhibitors and over 50 inspirational speakers. Dine on delicious local vegan or vegetarian food, take a free yoga class, and more in San Francisco, November 13th through 15th, and Portland, Oregon, December 11th through 13th. Visit greenfestivals.org.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Okay, so, you know, we've been speaking again to our wonderful Green Dude and Ultimate Cheapskate, Jeff Yeager, and we've been kind of doing this holiday theme thing. And we've spoken to him in the past about all kinds of really fun holiday gift projects. But one of the things we have touched on with him in the past has to do with not buying anything and giving alternative gifts in that they're gifts of – well, I'm going to let him kind of describe what we're talking about because I'm fumbling here. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good to be back with you. It's always amazing, isn't it, that you talk about the rush to buy stuff on Black Friday, that the exact day after the day we've spent sitting around with our family being thankful for what we already have,
right,
and the following day get out to the stores and trample our friends and colleagues to get $10 off on an Xbox or something.
It's
so insane. So call me a humbug, but, you know, I believe that people would be happier and the quality of their life would actually increase if they would only spend and consume less. And that's why I was really excited earlier this year to go on to the board of directors of one of my favorite nonprofit organizations. It's called the Center for the New American Dream.
Yeah.
Their website is newdream.org, and that's an organization that's all about trying to convince Americans that if they consume less and consume smarter, they'll be happier. And, you know, that message resonates so much at this time of the year with all the gift-giving. And on their website, you'll find resources for how to have a less materialistic Christmas or holiday without and convince your kids of that fact, too.
Yeah.
And how that can really make you happier. They also have an alternative gift registry on the website so that if you're getting married or something like that, you know, you can use their gift registry, not just for traditional gifts you want somebody to buy for you, but, you know, if you want them to give gifts to charity in your name, or maybe re-gift an item that, you know, here's some things that I'd like to receive if you already own one.
Right.
Or gifts of time and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, as you know, and I'm always, particularly this time of year, asking when it comes to gift giving at the holidays, I like to ask the audience, particularly older people in the audience, how many gifts from your childhood holidays do you even remember, let alone still have?
Right.
And, you know, hardly any hands go up.
I mean,
maybe one or two really precious things out of the piles of stuff most of us had showered upon us.
Right.
But then I ask those people, how many memories of those same holidays long ago do you still have? And all the hands shoot up.
Yes.
You know, so memories and experiences tend to appreciate in value, and stuff tends to depreciate in value, not just financially. I mean, most of it does, but emotionally. It just means less to us the more time that goes on.
Well, we're finding all these stories lately, you know, about all the stuff we're getting in trouble with. Just too much stuff. There's too much garbage. There's too much plastic floating around in the oceans. It's just all this stuff. We've become this, you know, society of stuff.
Right.
And I've been over the last few years been inspired to really reduce and just get rid of and in a responsible way and share, you know, because I find that I have this abundance, I have this crazy abundance of stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, ultimately it consumes us. We don't consume it.
And
here's a kind of a shocking statistic, which is that for each of the past 50 years, per capita consumption in America, you know, the gross amount of stuff that we consume has increased by about 1% per year for 50 years. So we're consuming now 50% more stuff than we were 50 years ago. And as you well know, there's no social science that shows that increase in consumption has made us any happier.
Yeah.
In fact, in general, we're less happy than we were 50 years ago. And I don't know that that's related to the stuff, but it certainly hasn't, particularly, you know, the niche that I write in is that, you know, is the personal finance niche, which is that, you know, if this stuff isn't making us any happier, particularly if we can't afford it and we're borrowing money to do it, then it's making us less happy. So, you know, it's consuming less for most Americans is the right thing to do for the environment. But here's the good news. Yeah. It also makes you happier.
I think so. I can't tell you how good it feels when I've gotten through a big project of going through a bunch of old boxes and clearing out, I had a whole room full of old stuff that I've been carting around, moving from, you know, house to house. I haven't even looked at it, you know. So it felt very good, and in general, it feels good to just not have so much clutter around me either.
Sure. And so I think coming up in the holidays, I mean, the rule is to try to look into the crystal ball and predict what those few gift items are going to be that someone's still going to own 10 or 20 or 50 years from now. And those are the ones that are the most important. And I'm not against gift giving, but I mean, I think we should approach it that way, that if you're buying anything that's disposable or that's not going to last, I don't understand how that's a significant gift. I can also say, as you know, my father unfortunately passed away earlier this year, and he was an amateur potter, and I always liked his work. But you know, he was an amateur potter, and he would always give us some of those pieces for the holidays, and we appreciated it, and we always put them out.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that since his passing, I mean, they are my most precious items.
Yes.
So if a relative gives you a handmade item this year and you kind of roll your eyes, I think you'll feel differently, you know, if that person is gone sometimes. And this is what you have left, is something that the person, you know, made with their own hands and imagination.
Well, I agree, and I've been making gifts for the last few years, and I get a little eye-rolling, but I know my kids do appreciate it, and I know for the most part I appreciate being given something that has some thought and love and meaning to it from the gift giver.
They'll only continue to appreciate and value over time, as opposed to most store-bought stuff that rapidly depreciates emotionally over time as it wears out or becomes obsolescent or what. So I've taken a really different view on handmade gifts since my father's passing, and seeing now how, you know, those pieces of pottery that he made are just like the most precious things.
Well, and when it comes to buying, you talked about, you know, you're not against gift giving, but I do this thing now where I really have this little list of questions. Whether it's a gift or something that I think I want, do I really need it? Is it, how was it made? Was it responsibly made? Is it recyclable? Is it got a long life? Is it disposable? You know, all those questions. And I can ask the same things about gifts. I like the idea of thinking 10 years down the road, is this going to be something this person will appreciate or whatever? Yeah.
I think at the holidays, and of course, you know, my wife and I, for a variety of reasons, we don't have any children, so I'm really reluctant to ever offer any advice on raising children. But through the four books I've written, I've interviewed a whole lot of frugal folks who have a whole lot of kids.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came out when I talk about gift giving was that they said, you know, in traditional families or a lot of families, parents, out of the goodness of their heart, want their children to have everything they want as soon as they want it, particularly at the holidays. So that's why there's this flood of stuff. And while the intention is great, the long-term implication is not so great.
Right.
But it teaches the child, that in life you get everything you want as soon as you want it, whether or not you can afford it or not. And of course, most of the time the kids don't know if mom and dad are just putting all this on a charge card and then, you know, we'll be sweating for months about how to pay it off.
Right, just magically appears.
I think it tends to confuse in children's minds the notion that the giving of stuff is equal to love.
And
I think they're two different things, and I think sometimes the one can be a substitute for the other.
I've enjoyed, as my daughters have, you know, they're grown up. In fact, I have grandchildren from my oldest daughter. But as they got to be more adult, we began to have more of a ritual of getting together and making things. And we made them for each other for Christmas. But it became more of a social and fun and, you know, like a new tradition. We get creative and we make things together over the holidays rather than, you know, worrying about, you know, this special bag, you know, the special purse that somebody wants to have, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
So, well, it's all about being more mindful and in many ways. And I appreciate your point of view. And the New American Dream's got it right.
Yeah. Well, and one of their mottos is more fun, less stuff.
Or
more of what really matters. I mean, that sums up what that organization is about. And I encourage your listeners to check it out, because there's a lot of great free resources on their website, and they're doing really important sort of groundbreaking work in trying to revisit, you know, what the American dream really is in this day and age.
You
have a good holiday. Don't be too much of a Scrooge, but do stay cheap.
Thanks, Jeff.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
It's been said that life imitates art more than art imitates life. But for artist Olafur Eliasson, it's the opposite when it comes to global warming. More after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order tall grass beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
Eliasson had spent months at the mouth of Iceland's greatest glacier, the largest ice cap in Europe, watching it slowly recede due to climate change. He decided that one of the big reasons people pay little attention to the effects of climate change is because they are not witness to it firsthand. So he created an exhibit that has chunks of 800-year-old ice on display in New York. "Can't bring New York to Iceland, but I can bring a small part of Iceland to New York," he said. The response has been varied, but visitors have flocked to see what might be a vanishing part of Earth. When the exhibit ends, Eliasson says he will simply let the ice melt. I'm Bill Curtis with Earth Matters.
Want to be encouraged about climate change and the future of our species? Then listen to the young Green Divas and Green Dudes from iMatter Youth, the voices of the next generation for climate action. Well, this is the first of our new series with iMatter Youth. We have talked to a couple of they're wonderful young ambassadors, council members. But this week we're going to speak to Becky Chung. Did I get that?
You got it right.
I got it right. I can't even read my notes. And Becky does marketing, among other things, as a council member with iMatter Youth. Hi, Becky.
Hi there.
And where are you calling from today?
I'm from Orange County in California.
Oh, man. You're in another time zone and everything.
Yeah.
Well, Becky's calling today because you're paying attention to COP21, what's going on in Paris, and you are paying particular attention, of course, to how youth are being represented. What's going on?
Right. So I'm actually in the new coordinating body of Sustain Us, and right now we have about 20-ish delegates in Paris fighting for intergenerational equity and get really the youth voice on climate.
Yeah.
And so it's been really exciting to just hear updates about how these delegates are just going to the front stage in front of these world leaders and talking about really getting to zero carbon emissions by 2050, which is the hope.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, a lot of us are going to be pretty ancient by then. But, you know, you're going to be in charge of the world. So this is important for you guys. Yeah, we're messing it up. But, hey, we're all on it trying to make it better now, right?
We're all in this together, yep.
So what's the word? What are your people there saying about their feeling about the conference?
They're all extremely tired. You know, it's just been a lot of nights of lack of sleep.
Yeah.
But they're actually really excited to see what Paris is going to do for the entire climate movement. And even though we know we're not going to win everything that we want, it's too bad that we can't have full renewable energy and be at zero carbon emissions as fast as possible. But we're really excited to keep moving forward in this last week of negotiations.
And so what is in the last week of negotiation? Are there particular agenda items that you all are following?
Mm-hmm. So for the past year, the negotiators in the UN have been really finalizing to get an agreement signed, and it looks like there will be an agreement, which is something that we can already say makes Paris a success.
Okay.
But it's just what that agreement is going to say and how many countries decide to actually sign on.
Well, I know that there are a lot of folks who have felt that we fell short in Paris, that they really probably could have done better. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's even happening is a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree that we're falling short, which is where I feel I Matter Now comes in, because the UN world leaders, they want to try as hard as they can, but they still have a lot of obstacles facing them. So especially in the U.S., as one of the leading polluters, we have a unique opportunity, I feel like, within these cities to make a difference. And that's the whole purpose of I Matter Now.
Okay. And I Matter Now is?
It's a campaign to empower youth to stand up and demand action in our cities. So the entire thing here is a local focus, because we believe that the massive change is starting at the grassroots level,
right,
rather than, you know, the big world stage.
So, you know, what are you telling folks? How can young people get more involved and find out more about I Matter Now?
For youth, definitely it would be to just go to imatteryouth.org and to sign up to maybe start a campaign within their own city, because we need as many cities as possible to start developing and implementing plans to be free of fossil fuels by 2040. That's really the science that Jim Hansen and his entire team have been saying. So for youth, it would definitely be get involved in the campaign, whether it's already in your community or whether you want to start one. And for adults, it would definitely just be supporting the youth and providing that capacity that we really need in order to make this change happen.
Wow. Okay. So just tell me quickly, you know, if you can do it quickly, because sometimes there's more to it. But what's motivated you to get involved in this process and in this in general?
Well, actually, where I'm from, environmental issues aren't affecting us, especially in Orange County in Southern California. We can't really see the impacts of climate change. But I've done a bit of international travel and just having seen, you know, for example, deforestation in tropical rainforest was a really big impact in shaping who I was as an activist a few years ago.
Wow.
And so kind of seeing impacts like that and starting my own nonprofit that talks to people who are affected by climate change. So, for example, one person I've interviewed is from the Pacific Islands, and she just talked to me about how she needs to really protect her traditions and her island from just going underwater.
Yeah.
And so it's just little things like that that helped me see that, you know, this isn't something that's in the future. This is, you know, a problem for my generation.
So how old are you now?
I'm 17 now.
Okay. So a few years you've been into this. So you started very young, like stepping up and becoming an activist for climate and the world.
I did start fairly young, but I mean, some of the I Matter youth leaders started when they were 8 or 9, and they're just doing amazing things, like Hallie, who's leading the lawsuit in North Carolina.
Yes, yes.
She's doing a fantastic job there.
Wow. Well, I'm so encouraged and really, you know, encouraged for all of us, but that this young generation coming up is really grasping the issue and taking action. A lot of it sounds so positive to me. So thank you for paying attention and stepping up, and hopefully we will get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
Thanks, Becky. I'm not sure about you, but I'm encouraged. Find out more about I Matter Youth and their ongoing I Matter Now campaign at imatteryouth.org. And of course, learn even more at thegreendivas.com. Wait, don't throw that away. Green Divas love to repurpose, upcycle, and reclaim, and keep lots of useful items from going to the landfill. Give it a new life, or just get creative with easy peasy Green Diva DIY projects. Wow, you know, it's been a while since we've done any DIY segment, let alone one by one of us.
I don't know that you'll ever see one by me. I mean, I do make my own food,
but
I'm not crafty like you.
You're not crafty. Well, you just haven't really explored that crafty Green Diva in there. She's in there. She
not
exists.
Not sure.
Well, you certainly have other creative talents, no doubt, but I happen to be and the creative thing didn't the crafty part didn't come out until you know, later in life. Like, seriously, I didn't get into the crafty thing when my kids were little so much.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little bit older, probably teenagers, when I started getting into my annual craft binge at the
really?
Holidays.
I thought you were always crafty.
No. Mm-mm. Well, you know, I probably have had moments of it, but it really, I got into it, and what I did was I got into doing projects with them every year, and we would do stuff together, and so, you know, it's always like, so what's this year's craft project, Mom? And we've done, I've made teacup candles out of sort of random antique china teacups.
Oh, how cute.
You know, you can buy them usually.
What a great idea. I've got lots of beeswax left over.
Thank you. And actually, I think I made it with some leftover candles that I melted down. I don't know. It wasn't – you don't have to do all that complicated, but they're not that complicated to make. And actually, what I did was a post on 10 easy DIY gift ideas for the non-crafty Green Divas.
Oh, well, then I guess I need to read that one. That would be for me.
That's one made just for you, Lynn. And
oh, thank you.
You know, they really are. They're like ridiculously easy, and you can be like, oh my gosh, I am so cool. I did this little cool DIY upcycling fun thing.
Well, the candle one is yelling out to me right now.
Yeah, not that hard.
I think I could do that.
And it's not expensive, and people just love that. I made one that I saved for myself among the many I gave out, and I've never burned it because I just like it. I don't want to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a freak like that.
You're such a freak.
The other thing is a foodie item, and that's, you know, I did vegan hot cocoa mix in a mason jar.
Mm.
And every year now, I've been doing that. This will be the third year, and people are like, so you're making that, right?
Wow. And that's with the raw cacao powder?
Yes. Yes. And in fact,
I need to do that recipe because my son just doesn't realize that that's the stuff that goes into real cocoa mix that he wants to buy at the store. And I keep telling him, no, we can make our own.
Not only can you make your own, but mine is sort of a healthy, really nice twist. It's got a South American flair. I do use a little tiny bit of cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
I use maca powder. I use vanilla powder, cinnamon, and I can't remember what else right now.
Sounds delicious.
And, of course, there's sugar. But, you know, I discovered last year coconut sugar works really well. Granulated coconut sugar. Very flavorful. And what I use is one of my nut milks. I warm that up and then, you know, so that's how it's really vegan.
Oh.
I think you could use regular milk, but it can, you know, depends on what you have and what you like and what you prefer. But I did use a vanilla flavored almond milk last year with this, and it's like such a treat. So there's that. And then like Green Diva Lee did a nice post last year for us, holiday gift lanterns that she makes with her kids.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's all kinds of really easy, fun things to do, like making tags from old cards. I've been saving all these old Christmas cards, and then you can
that
cut.
Seems like something that I would be able to manage.
You could manage this, and you cut little pictures off of them, or if there's a pattern, or, you know,
that's
just cut them in little shapes and either stick them to whatever wrapping you're using. Hopefully it's some recycled stuff, right?
Yeah. What a great idea.
Or you can just cut them into shapes with a little hole and then tie them on like a tag.
Mm-hmm.
And one year we had all these paint samples, you know, those strips with paint colors.
Oh, yeah.
We just cut those into wacky shapes.
Oh, my gosh. How creative.
Yeah. You know, because you just got to use this stuff. So I'm sort of ridiculous in saving all kinds of random things. So, you know, if you go on our site and DIY hot cocoa, my recipe will come up and I even show you how to, you know, create, you know, use the mason jars, and I made a little lid with instructions, you know, so I have
a great gift for sure.
Details there. And there's that 10, easy DIY gifts for the non-crafty. That's another post. Go look for that. And there's a whole bunch of ideas in there, including a couple from Becky Streepy, our glue and glitter gal. and Lee's holiday gift lanterns, if you look that up. So we've got a lot of fun stuff on there.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Just want to encourage y'all to just have some fun. Do it with the kids or friends or whatever.
Whatever.
All right, happy holidays, kids.
Happy holidays.
To get an easy-to-follow tutorial on how to do this fun Green Diva DIY project and many others, go to thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember, buy less, make more, and buy local whenever possible.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last spring, the Blue Hill Restaurant in New York City was temporarily renamed Wasted and began serving gourmet meals made from food waste. Chef and co-owner Dan Barber says the goal was to draw attention to how much food gets thrown out before it's ever put on a plate. In the U.S., up to 40% of our food ends up in landfills, where it emits climate-warming methane.
So the entire menu featured ingredients that we intercepted from its way to a landfill or a garbage can or a compost bin.
For example, Barber crafted a veggie burger out of the leftover fiber from a nearby juice bar. Unsold bread was remixed with milk and yeast and fashioned into burger buns. And pickles were made from the unattractive but perfectly good ends of cucumbers. Former White House chef Sam Cass was so inspired by his meal at Wasted, he helped bring the concept to a United Nations meeting in New York. So 30 world leaders recently dined on delicacies like landfill salad, made with veggie scraps and liquid from a can of chickpeas. Barber says the delicious experience got the heads of state talking about the food-climate connection in a whole new way, and he hopes it inspires them to action at the World Climate Conference in Paris. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Ooh, it's a fun day at Green Diva Studio. I have a very special guest, the beautiful and lovely and talented Alice Ford. Yeah,
the crowd.
Yay.
Thank you so much for having me.
She is out from L.A. visiting New York, and we lured her to the studio in New Jersey here. And she's a trooper for coming on out and enduring the gauntlet of Gracie. Our dog likes to greet everybody very ambitiously. So Alice, if you don't know Alice, she is an actress and a stunt woman. I think that is so cool.
Thank you.
And she's a TV personality. And she has a series on YouTube called Alice's Adventures, all about travel. And a lot of it is about eco-travel, conscious travel, how to be more mindful and earth-friendly when we travel, right?
Yes, absolutely. So as you said, I am a stunt woman. And my YouTube channel is all about traveling. It's all about adventure and ecotourism. And I have a whole series called Green and Fabulous also.
Oh, yeah.
Where we also I highlight, you know, things you can do around your home and in your daily lives that are super simple, that help the environment. They can help you save money. So I do a lot of things on that, like just little things like how to reduce your energy consumption, how to save water, you know, just little funny videos that I put together that I hope people will watch and say, oh, that's a fun way
They're
to learn.
They're great, because I had watched them earlier when we first, you know, booked you for this, and I went, oh my God, she is so cool. And you do, you make it fun and simple, and that's what we're all about here, because I think if it were really super stressful, and it is stressful when you think about all of it, but if you can just kind of pick one thing and, you know, make a little change a habit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most of the things that we can do to change things are just so simple and easy. But I think people get harped on so much about the environment and green stuff that sometimes they don't realize that things are are just so simple.
Right. Or there's just a giant guilt trip about, like, you know, the polar bears are dying, it's your fault.
Right.
And then, you know, then you just feel sad and overwhelmed.
Right. And so, you're like, I can't do anything.
It's too depressing. But, so we don't go there.
That's right.
Oh, my God. So now, before we venture back into the whole cool green thing, which, you know, you're doing so beautifully, let's just dish for a minute. You've done some fun projects that aren't necessarily green.
Absolutely.
Like, I told my daughter you were coming to the studio. She's like, oh, my God, she's so cool. She was in Entourage. So tell us about that, just
yeah,
for fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I've gotten to work on some amazing and super, super fun projects over the years. Yes, as your daughter saw, I did do Entourage. If you watch the trailer, you'll see my face get hit by a baton at one of the parties that Vince and his friends have. And then this year I got to work on Star Trek III.
Really?
Which will come out next year.
Ooh.
And that basically took up the entire year. And we got to go to some amazing places. And that's one of the best parts about my job, is that not only do I get to work on these amazing movies, but I get to travel to all these amazing locations. So
yeah,
we spent the summer in Vancouver, and then we actually went to Dubai for a month.
Wow.
Which was, you know, so different,
right,
than anything I'd ever seen. And it's just been amazing. You know, I got to do Transformers 2 years ago, the most recent one.
Really?
And we were in Chicago, we were in Washington, we were in Detroit, and then we also went to China.
Really?
And we went to a beautiful place called Wulong in China,
mm-hmm.
Where there's a huge World Heritage Site there.
Hmm.
Absolutely beautiful. The Fairy Caves is what they're called. And there's also one of the biggest cave systems in the world. Just some amazing, natural, beautiful things. So it's been
amazing. Do some of your adventure filming while you're on location with some of the movies you're working with?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's so nice to have a job where it helps my other job, you know?
Yeah.
And so I get to, right, I get to travel to these,
promoting,
yeah,
and whatever.
Travel to these amazing places and have the opportunity to film stuff without, you know, breaking the bank, because we're already in these amazing places.
Well, that's what, like I was saying, Lynn and I are trying to do more travel things, and we've had some fun. We got to go to Hawaii, and that was all paid for by the Hawaiian Travel Bureau. Like,
fantastic.
Yes, thank you, I love you. And, you know, but otherwise it is very challenging to put together, you know, everything's costly and we want to do a good job, you know. So tell me, how did you become interested in sort of the eco side of things, the green side?
Well, I grew up in New Hampshire, and my dad was a huge supporter of, like, every wildlife association, you know, World Wildlife Fund, Sierra Club, Nature Conservancy.
Yeah.
And so for as long as I can remember, I just remember always getting the mail and hearing of all the, you know, things going on with the environment. And my dad was really big into forestry. And we went on hikes and nature vacations and to Yellowstone. And
so it's like in your DNA. You know,
it's in my DNA.
It really is.
In my DNA. Yeah.
Go, Dad.
That's right. So, you know, I just always loved nature. And I think seeing kind of like the slow, you know, demise of things over, you know, my life, it's become something that's been more and more important to me. And so after I got out of college, I actually went back to school and got my master's degree in environmental management.
Wow.
Which I'm not specifically working in that career,
right,
you know, and making a career in that. But I guess with that and my YouTube series and my website, that's how I'm trying to still do
right.
my part
yeah.
with
yeah.
my education that I have. But it's always been an important part of my life, and I want to make sure to share that with as many people as I can, like my dad did with me.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you are doing your part, and I like how you're incorporating the entertainment side into. So when you're on a set, do other people know that this is sort of your thing? And do other crew members, do they, you know, they participate at all or give you a hard time?
I guess, so I work on a stunt team. So my small group of guys that I work with,
right.
they know generally, you know,
yeah.
But they don't give me a hard time about it.
That's cool.
I think my boyfriend gives me a little bit of a hard time because I'm always, you know, around the house being like, don't do this, don't get rid of that.
Yeah, I know. You know. My husband, and but, he means well, but every once in a while it's like, really, do we have to do that? I'm like, yeah, you do.
You know, compost, recycle. No, that one doesn't go in that bin.
Exactly. No, you have to rinse that out first.
But, you know, the great part this year, at least on Star Trek, working in Canada, they are so green in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
And the movie sets there, as far as just like the whole waste system, yeah, is absolutely incredible.
Really?
You know, they have compost bins. They even have like a trash Nazi. So literally, if
film set would have a trash Nazi, right?
If you don't know where your, you know, biodegradable fork goes, which bin, there's a guy there that goes, wrong bin, and he goes through the trash and makes sure everything is in its appropriate bin.
Well,
that's cool. But we don't have that in the U.S. yet. So
not really, no.
We're still working on that.
We're working on it. We're just a little slow. And, you know, it's interesting because this week that we're talking here is, you know, COP21 in Paris. And Obama said pretty much, you know, we're one of the top reasons. We're one of the biggest polluters, and we've got to take action. And I thought that was kind of cool that he pretty much admitted, even though it's obvious.
Yeah.
But, I don't know why I went off on that little tangent.
Well, it's a lot. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's one of the most important events, I think, for environmentalists.
Well,
you know, in a really long time.
People are waking up.
Yeah. And there's China is now like actually coming to the table and talking with people about.
Well, that's a big deal because China's the other big one. It's us and China, really.
And they've always just kind of been, you know, denying that they're doing anything wrong.
Yeah. In their little cloud of smog.
That's right.
But, you know, so we're doing our part. We're doing our part. So tell me what your favorite so far, what your favorite green adventure has been. If you have one.
This year, I got to go to Banff in Canada.
Oh, I've always wanted to go there.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to stay for very long, but it's been on my bucket list for a really long time, and it is absolutely just incredibly beautiful.
Now, did you go in the summer, spring?
Summertime.
Okay.
And got to see the glacial lakes and, you know, just the amazing mountains there.
It's extraordinary.
And
did you have to do a lot of hiking? I mean, to get to?
No, actually. There are glacial lakes that you can literally just like drive to or ride your bike. Right. A lot of people, biking is really big there. So a lot of people just rent bikes and, you know, cycle all around.
I would do that.
Which is incredible. My boyfriend and I got to do a really fun adventure thing there. We got to do a Via Ferrata, which I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
But it's basically a mixture of hiking and rock climbing.
Oh.
It's really cool.
I've done that, but not on purpose. It's a long story and it was scary.
I bet.
Oh my God.
But you're strapped in and you basically like traverse the mountainside. Wow. And we went all the way up to the top of this mountain that overlooked the entire, you know, town and mountainside of Banff.
Vistas. So. Did you have cameras?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that will soon be a video that you'll be able to see on my website and on my blog.
Wow. Yeah. So. That's cool because Banff has always been on my bucket list.
Yeah.
And I'm a little older than you, so I got to get my act together.
That's right. Get out there.
Get out there,
and
we, girl.
I also got to do some other national parks here in the U.S. this year that were incredible. Zion, Death Valley.
Yes, yes.
And Bryce Canyon.
Been to some of those.
And, you know, I think people forget we have such an amazing national park system here in the United States.
Yes, I agree.
And
how cool was that California opened up all their parks, speaking of parks, instead of Black Friday? I guess REI started it when they said we're going to close and we want our employees to go outside. And then California said, hey, how about we open up all our state parks for free for everybody to go visit?
Yeah, it's really great. And I know that the whole National Park Service in this country this year has been doing a really big marketing campaign this year to just get people outside and get people excited about national parks again. And
we do have some amazing, beautiful, natural places and things in this country that I think, you know, I take for granted. I forget. But okay, so, and what was the scariest moment you've had doing your own eco adventures?
Oh, the scariest moment I've had. Let's see. Jumping out of an airplane.
Oh, well, that would qualify.
Yeah. And diving with sharks also.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you in a cage?
No, I was not in a cage. They were hand feeding the sharks. And you just sit there and,
I'm not bait.
Some
I'm
of them
bait.
Bump into you, really? And kind of swim on
is
your
that
face.
How they, is that how they sort of touch, is that how they assess you, by touching you with their nose?
Well, I think it's because they're feeding them. It's just such a frenzy that I think, they're just trying to get past you. And
oh, that's terrifying. I don't like that at all.
They think you're just another creature,
I don't like that at all.
But the scariest moment was, when you first, when the boat stops and you jump in the water, you see all the sharks swimming, underneath the surface, and you have to jump in.
Yeah, no.
And you think, oh my God,
right.
What am I? This is suicide.
Every instinct says, don't jump.
Right.
What are you crazy?
And then when you get down there, and you're like, okay, I'm underneath the sharks. But then that first shark looks at you, and then it starts swimming towards you, and you think, oh my God, it's coming to eat me. And then it just swims by.
Wow.
But in that moment.
Were they big ones? Were they large?
I mean, they're black tip sharks, so they're not huge, but.
So could you smack it in the head to just kind of divert it if it did?
I mean, I guess.
Did they tell you,
brave.
Did they tell you, how to defend yourself?
No, they don't. But, I mean, the thing is, it's really scary when you're down there.
I'd have a nervous breakdown.
But they don't pay any attention to you.
And you're like, okay, they I guess this is think, okay.
Yeah, they just think you're another fish. But the mental, freak out is crazy.
Yeah. So are you a certified diver as well?
I am, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you really are an adventure girl.
I do. I love adventure.
Get smacked in the face with batons. You jump in with sharks. You jump out of planes.
Yeah. Wow. And, I want to show people that. Even if we're just exploring our national parks, there's so much more than just, looking at a vista, which is beautiful. But if people want more than just what they think of, national parks, there's adventure, there's relaxation, there's just so many things to offer.
I think the most terrifying thing I've done is zip lining. And we did the super zip line adventure package. And I didn't mean to. They signed us up for it on this Hawaiian trip.
Yes.
They're and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And we're like, I just said, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And it was, the series of 9 zip lines, which was okay. But what they didn't tell you is that you had to cross these rope and wood bridges. And the wooden planks were 2 feet apart. And I was, what? Are you kidding me? I can't cross that bridge. I would rather zip line all day than do that. So zip lining became very easy after I get to the bridge. But that was my most terrifying moment, which wasn't so terrifying. And what it did was it brought me into the forest there, into the rainforest. Yeah. And I got these views and vistas that you don't. And I think that's a lot of, what you don't see unless you – go a little bit deeper,
right. Yeah,
go a little
absolutely.
Bit deeper into the wilderness, which sometimes is an adventure.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You get to go rock climbing when you didn't necessarily want to. And so what would you recommend to somebody who may be the average person who, they're not totally adventurous, but maybe a little adventurous? What would you say they should try?
Well, I would say, if they like exercising, I would say at least go for a hike.
Yeah.
Get out there. I think people would be surprised if they do the research to find that in almost every city in this country, there are amazing little hikes, walks, nature trails that can just take you to the most beautiful and serene places.
Yeah.
And I think just getting outside in any way, and zip lining, I think, is a great thing for people to do because it really challenges people that are a little bit afraid of heights or
to
luckily
once, I didn't have that fear so much.
Once they strap you in, it's like you're good,
bye-bye.
But I think just getting involved with nature in any way you can, and I think once you start doing that, it's
always
a
surprise. And wherever I go, I try to find trails, and I do a little running and walking and hiking. And I was in Portland, Maine. And, it's a city. It's a nice walkable city. But someone said, you got to go run by the back cove or the back bay or whatever they call it. So I was running along the trail and I came upon this marshy area that had all these amazing birds in there. And I got this, the best picture I've ever taken in my life, totally by accident. I was taking a picture of a duck and an egret, or I think it was a heron or an egret, I'm not sure which, was flying by.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, no, there's a city right there. And I, you know, I managed to find some cool nature right there. So, yeah. And you know,
it's all around us.
It is. It really is. Well, tell people how they can find out more about you and your adventures.
Well, my website is called alicesadventuresonearth.com.
Cool.
And that has my blog on it. It's got, you know, travel guides to a lot of the places that I've been and more to come soon.
Mm-hmm.
And in those travel guides, I give, you know, tips on where to eat, where to stay,
what
I did, what I saw, and lots of photos. And then there's a lot of my videos are on there too. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, which if you just search Alice Ford in YouTube, you find my channel, and that's got my Green and Fabulous series. It's got National Park Adventures, which is the national parks here in the U.S. And it has my other series, World Heritage Adventures, which is all about world heritage sites around the world, which the Banff episode will be up there pretty soon as well.
I can't wait to see it. Well, thank you so much for making the trek out here. And I hope everybody goes and sees where Alice is going next.
Thank you so much.
And where she's been. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.